I'm Emily Theed, author of This Vicious Grace, coming in summer 2022 from Wednesday Books.
And I'm Anna, a teacher and a writer in the Queery Trenches.
And you're listening to Basic Pitches, where we...
Two basic pitches.
Break down the basics of writing and being a writer.
Yeah, I don't know what it's a good sign for, but...
I'll take it. I can use good signs right now.
Good things are on the way.
Yep.
Yeah. Emily's in blue and pink headphones today, and they're very cute.
I am. Yes, I lost my headphones, and I am hosting a book launch tonight on Instagram Live, so I need to find those and also figure out how to use Instagram Live and what I'm going to ask and say. It'll be great.
It'll be great. I don't know what I'm doing. Have fun.
Yeah.
I'm just going to watch and wave. Can you wave with an emoji in Instagram Live?
I think so.
Or am I an old?
I sound like an old. Literally, I've done one Instagram Live, and it was with Lauren Blackwood, and I, like, started it. Like, I just, like, hit the button and was like, hello, internet. And then she joined in, and then we kind of fumbled our way through it, and now... She's starting it, and I'm joining to host for her book launch tonight, which will now be in the past for anyone listening to this on Tuesday. And neither of us really knows what we're doing, so that's fine. It's casual.
So
it's casual.
That's the beauty of podcasting is it's time travel.
It is time travel. Hopefully, it will be up on Instagram video that you'll be able to watch the rewatch if you didn't catch it.
Check it out. It's there. And if you weren't there live... Shame on you.
And I'm just going to travel through time again and say, it was great. It was amazing. We did a great job. It was fantastic.
Yeah,
so
you
polished.
Did.
So poised.
Remember that thing where that
funny line that everyone was laughing at? Oh, that was
said,
so good.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I had the best questions. I look forward to seeing what they're going to be.
And then the aliens attack. That was neat.
I know. It was really weird that happened during the live thing. But, you know, hey, you can't predict these things. Mm-mm. Life is unpredictable.
It is.
Yeah. All right. Well,
but
back to
you know what's not predictable? Emily,
our podcast.
Do you know what's not predictable?
Our podcast? No.
Yeah, our podcast.
Oh, sorry. You were going to segue. Sorry.
No,
I'm handing you back your segue handlebars.
See, this is what we're talking about. Is like this is not predictable right now.
Not predictable. No.
What's not predictable is what's going to happen during NaNoWriMo because.
Ooh, amen, sister.
It goes everywhere. Good luck.
Yes, it does. That's what I like about it, though.
Me too.
So yeah.
No, I don't.
So today we're just going to talk about NaNo, which I don't think. I'm doing this year because I had a question for a friend and I emailed my agent, which reminded my agent that technically I said I was gonna send her a draft like back in August, so so now I owe that to her sometime in November, which is really soon. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, I will be doing a form of NaNo, which
but
is probably gonna
be half a month earlier.
Yeah, so I'll just be combining, writing, you know, my future mentees, edit letter, I'll count those words. If that counts, I'm set. I'm good.
I'm
good.
I am your
cheerleader,
support fairy.
Coach?
Yes.
Yes.
Because whatever you say, I will just say yes.
Yes.
Like, does that word count? Count? Yes.
Yes.
Does tweeting on Twitter count? Yes.
Yes. Because the point of NaNo, in my mind, is to kind of force you to just like run at top speed and not think too much. Because there has to be a trade-off. Like, I mean, for that anyone who doesn't know, which I assume most people do, NaNoWriMo is National Novel Writing Month. It was invented a long time ago by some college students, which is obvious when you realize that it's in November, because for college students, this is a great time to write a book because you're home from school and you don't have responsibilities. And for everyone else, it's a horrible time.
It's the worst.
And then... Camp NaNo is in April, again, spring break. Great time if you're a college student. Terrible if you're a working parent. And then I think there's another one in July because, again, opposite of a working adults with kids, but it's fine. But it was created just as a like a challenge. Can you write 50,000? It's 50,000, right?
Yeah.
50,000 words in a month. Those are the only rules. That's it. Just write them.
Yeah.
And because of that, it, I think, helps a lot of people kind of bust through walls. Because your goal isn't to write 50,000 words that are good. Your goal isn't to write a coherent storyline. Like, if you do, bonus points. But it's like by focusing your main priority just on getting words on the page, I think it allows people to kind of take off the guardrails and see what they can do. Yes. And because it's a short period of time, it's not like this is unsustainable. Of course it is. But it's just a short-term goal. So that's how I started writing. That's how I wrote my first ever manuscript. It was a challenge. My mom had done it before. She bends the rules. She writes kind of memoir-y stuff just for herself, just to have it written down somewhere. And she'd done it a couple times and just found it really, you know, a good way mm-hmm. to just set a goal. And so she said, you know, you've talked about writing books for decades and decades. Why don't you just try it? So I did. But so, yeah, so I did Nano. And when I finished it, I was just kind of amazed that I had as much of a story as I had, even though it was terrible. And it was the thing that I needed to break through because, again, I'd been thinking about writing a book for a long time, but I never had an entire plot. So it was like, well, I'll just wait until a whole story shows up in my head. And it turns out that was never going to happen. That's yeah, not how my brain works. Yeah. So by just sitting down and saying, okay, well, I can think of like a little bit of a scene and I can just write it. And then it was like overnight half the time, my brain was like, what happens next? What happens next? And it would start to fill things in. So, yeah.
Yeah.
What was your first Nano?
Oh, my gosh. I was thinking about it. It wasn't the first thing that I ever wrote, but I think it was like my second. And yeah, I think it was much the same way where it was like I produced a lot of, and this is not putting myself down, like it was a lot of garbage. Like it was a lot of forcing myself. It's an
essential step.
Yeah, it really is. And at that time, I was so new. And I've been thinking about it a lot lately, like how much I didn't know at the beginning.
Everything?
I didn't know.
I almost said I didn't know anything, but it's more that I didn't know. Everything. Everything was what I did not know.
Right, all the things. Right. And it's so funny because I think that first go around with NaNoWriMo taught me about like actual plot, right? I was a teacher at the time, so an English teacher. I knew what a plot was. I knew how it worked in stories.
You were ahead of the game compared to me.
Right? Like I knew that stuff. But it was the act of writing something going, oh, this is a lot harder than I thought it would be. Okay, cool. Ah, and like figuring out just how to make a story happen, how to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that's what I kind of learned during that first Nano. And it was a lot of like writing a bunch of junk. It was a lot of me writing, like I would write at the beginning of this, like, I don't know where this is going, but I think it's going to start here. And then I would get an idea and just start writing. And so it was like half journal, half story.
Nice.
Half some dialogue thrown in there.
I was just running like with a blindfold on and my hands out in front of me.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Like I would just write like a scene. I had an opening scene. I had a basic idea, just like girl looking for a lost mom spaceship, you know, and what was so cool to me is I think it helped me just discover my creative process because, yeah. One, when I finished it, I looked at it and I was like, oh, that is kind of the shape of a story. Like, I didn't know plot beats and stuff, but I could look at right. it and say, like, okay, like, I did have a beginning and then stuff happened and then there was an ending. And, yeah. like, but for me, it was like, one, I learned to trust that, like, okay, you do have a basic idea of what makes a book. And if you run fast enough, your brain will fill in what's going to come next, which yes. is what I had been sitting there. I'd been sitting there waiting for stories to come to me because I've always had right. concepts. I mean, the concept that became This Vicious Grace has been sitting in my head forever.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a story. So it was like, well, I have an idea, but that's all I have. I don't have world building. I don't have scenes. I just have a basic premise. So I will just sit here and wait for the entire story to drop into my brain. And that was never going to happen. And NaNoWriMo taught me that if I just go, that my yeah. brain almost does like what you're doing when you're watching a movie and you're jumping at every little sound, like in a scary movie, because you're like, oh, the bad guy's going to be around the corner. Oh, I bet that guy's going to come back later. Like you're predicting it. And I almost
yeah.
figure if I write fast enough, I start predicting what's going to happen, and then I can just make that what happens because why not?
Right.
So, yeah.
I think this is interesting because I think NaNoWriMo means something so different to every single person who does
totally.
It. Right. And I think that is a really cool approach of just allowing yourself and having a moment to force yourself to actually write the thing, right? Instead of being kind of like this immobilized thing of, I don't know what to do next, or I don't know where this is going, or I have to know exactly where the next beat is. You can just write it and it's okay. You know, it's a month of your life. It's a month of writing. You can fix it later. It'll be fine. At least you'll have some ideas generated from it. And that's something like right now that I really appreciate, because I am known to stall on writing because I don't know what's happening next. I don't, or I'm not feeling this scene. The scene isn't working. Like this morning I was like, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but like when I'm drafting, I really feel like there are some scenes where I know there's like some sort of carrot there for me to get to, like some sort of cookie, and I can't get to the cookie. So it feels flat, and that's okay. Nano makes you go, write the flat thing. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. There's a cookie later.
Yeah. Or even like it also taught me that like since my goal was to get these words down, and actually the first time I did Nano, I had a toddler and a preschooler. And so I would sit down in the like 45 minutes a day that I had to work on it. And my goal was just to get as many words down on the page as possible. And so I would do that and I would skip ahead. I would skip scenes. If I had an idea for a scene and I didn't know where it fit, then I would just write it. And, you know, I let myself skip the boring parts or skip the connective tissue and just hop ahead to the next cookie, the next carrot. You know, if I thought, oh, this would be fun. But like, I stopped writing when they were about to fight this big monster and I don't know what they're going to do. But it would be really funny if at some point so-and-so does this. So I'll just write that part now and I'll go figure it out later. And that has become my process forever. So it worked out.
Yeah. I know that now about you, as that is your process, right? You talk about, we've talked about, you know, you have talked about on this podcast before about making the clay and having the clay to form and shape and do whatever. And you like to bounce around and have those scenes that are fun. And those are your cookies and you already have them written. And
I think that's fantastic. Otherwise I get stuck. It's like when you said, when I get to that flat part, when I get to that, like, I don't want to write the, like, and then they went to bed, and then they woke up in the morning, and then they did this. Like, so I just skip it, and then I go and fill it in later, which is good, because a lot of times those cookie scenes are in the wrong place, and I need to move them around before I write all that connective tissue, so yeah.
Right, and I think that's so smart, because that's something that I can take right now and make actionable while I'm drafting, because my plan is to actually do a form of Nano this year. You know, so that'll be helpful. Thanks for applauding.
And you actually, like, prepare and stuff. You do, which I know a lot of people prepare a lot. I did not, because I couldn't prepare, because that was my whole thing, is that I couldn't know what I was going to write until I did it. So there was no preparation.
Exactly. Yeah. For me, there was no preparation for that first one. That first one was, I had a concept in my head. Girl dies, becomes Grim Reaper of town, has to uncover mystery. And that was it. That's all I had. And I didn't have characters. I didn't have anything. I just threw it all at the page. Which now my process has become almost a hybrid of, I have to have the feeling, like the aesthetic I want, like that mood. I have to have that overall tone in my head of, is this going to be funny? Is this going to be dark? Is this going to be whatever? Even if that changes within the first 5 pages, I have to have that to start, because then I get excited about that. Like, I really want to create something moody.
Yeah. And I think finding that, the thing that you're excited about. And like, for me, it's often like a part of a scene. It's a character dynamic. It's like, because a lot of my book ideas are inspired by like a dynamic in a TV show or a movie. And it's it can be just one stretch of dialogue that I just, something about it clicks and I just want to play with it and I want to get that same vibe. And so it's like, then I just kind of write that scene first and start to shape things around it. So
I like that. Because I usually do end up doing something similar. It's funny, I do something similar, but it's usually for, it is for a character trope, a character dynamic, and like for the majority, it is for a mood, right? In my baking book, just because you've read it.
Yes, I have.
The scene that happened first in my brain that I wrote down and changed very, very little in dialogue or tone was the scene where she makes the deal with Nick. The cake scene where she's like, I'm going to die and all I can think about is cake.
Yeah.
That scene was there from the very beginning. It's my favorite scene. I love it so much.
See, if that book gets published, that has to be your pull quote.
I know. Right?
It has to be.
That's the only tagline. Please, I have it. It's great. But I have that. And that scene to me was setting, atmosphere, and character mm-hmm. dynamics. I wanted someone who was almost kind of this, it's not so much grumpy sunshine as it is.
She's got that irreverence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's words. So what are like,
words? I know words. Yes.
Yeah. He's I know so what you mean. Focused I and driven and dark. And he's like the typical dark, broody YA love interest.
And she refuses to be cowed by him or to let him see that she's scared.
Cool. Okay. I'm hungry. Do you want to eat? Okay, I'll eat your slice. And that's what I wanted. I wanted – because I didn't want the whole book to be like dark and broody and gross in that regard. I just wanted it to be fun. So that's what I do for Nano now is I find – I have a scene in my head that I write ahead of time. And I'm like, okay, we're building towards this. This is kind of the dynamic we want. And then have you ever seen the where the people doodle little like – like sexless oh, like a characters cloud
kind of thing oh.
It's the characters, it's the ship, like the character dynamics where it's like the buff grumpy sunshine but they're like little figures. Have you seen those?
I don't know if I have.
Oh my gosh. Okay,
you'll have to send it to me. Share in the show notes.
I will, because that's what I also build towards now. Is I found one last night that I was like, well, this is my whole darn book, and it's character dynamics like you were talking about, like of finding something in a TV show that you want to twist. Yeah.
I feel like both you and I have really come, like, our mutual evolution over the past, like, year or so has just been this, like, screw it, I like this thing, and I'm doing it.
Oh, you know? Straight
like,
up.
Like, I just feel like both of us, I mean, I think a lot of writers go through that phase in the beginning where you're like, you know, I need to avoid tropes. I need to avoid stuff that's already been done. And they get to this point where you're like, it's all already been done. Yeah. All of it has been done before. What is the thing I like? How do I put my spin on it? And how do I write this fun thing and just like treat yourself, you know?
It's the truth. New project. Here we go. It's these little – can you see this? Can you see it at all?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. I'll have to send it to you. But it's the thing that has like – this one has the like – you know, the character behind them is larger and they're like smiling and it's like giant puppy dog energy. And then the little ones in front, like it has that tiny troublemaker energy. And like, I love those things. And I found that for this book, I want to basically write female Roy Kent.
Nice.
That's all I want is I want her to just be grumpy, but with that heart of gold.
The one thing I will warn you as someone that wrote Roy Kent.
I'm ready.
My debut. My biggest warning, and I have no advice, is that it is a whole new fun challenge when you take a character like that works so well on screen, and then suddenly you have to write it in words when they hardly ever talk.
I know.
With Dante book one, where I was like, why did I decide to have the love interest be someone that does everything non-verbally, and even then it's small things.
Yes.
Like, you have to study body language and just – and, like, everything is dialogue. This is totally a tangent, but oh, well, it's fine. Everything is about, like, how I adjust the little bits of dialogue he has to make sure that it sounds like there are pauses in the right places.
Yes.
Because the entire book could be just him, like, growling or raising an eyebrow or, like, scowling.
Yeah.
It's so hard to get it right.
I'm going to need all of your support and help in this. Now that I've told you this, and when you go to read it, you need to help me adjust it, because I've been doing a lot with the setting itself kind of lends it to her being kind of this solitary creature.
Yeah.
She's by herself a lot of the time. And then she's like – she has the almost Roy Kent thing where she's like, my love interest is going to show up all by themselves. And then they bring an entire party of people to stay at her house. And she doesn't say a word.
Yep.
She stares and she's like, go home. And then she turns and walks away. And that's like all she says in that scene. And I was like, oh, no, this is going to be really hard because she has to say more than two words. This is going to be great.
But she doesn't. That's the thing. It's a well-placed line of dialogue. Yeah, that's why I have lots of scenes where Alessa's just like talking. And Dante just pops in with a few little things because,
And that's my cookie. That's my like bring it back to Nano. That's going to be my cookie going forward, is to play with something. And we've talked about this before with our Alyssa episode, and it's something that stuck with me, is this idea of actively practicing something new.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, Nano is a really great time to do that. So you can I either focus on the word count. Like, I want to actually like bust through 50K of words, mm-hmm. which is asinine to bust out 50 KO forwards and hope that they are good.
Oh, no, they're not. No, no, is, that's no. I never hope that they're good. Out but stuff. That's why, like, I can't do it this year because I'm like, no, I actually have to. That's kind of my always yeah. my drafting process. So I kind of did that already with this sequel. Yeah. And now I'm like, no, I don't need more words. I need better words. No.
I need good words. Yeah. And I think that's the thing is, like, with me and my style is I am not the person to just slap down 50K yeah. and then come back and be like, okay, now it's time to fix all of this. Yeah. I am someone who, like, wants to at least take the – have the scenes there and then I can move them like Lego blocks and trim and do whatever. Yes. But I
would like to, but I think I only have two speeds.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is me in general. Like, I'm either – booking it through that first draft or that first draft is not happening. And
that's true. Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
If I overthink it. Because I love pretty prose and I love a perfect dialogue. Yeah. And if I try to do that, I will just play with it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
Right. Right.
And never write the rest of the book.
And that's why Nano's so good is because if you do want that word count, you can't play with it. Nope. You just have to get the story down.
And usually for me, the part that where I make my book better involves a lot of cutting.
Yes.
And so Nano is like, no, don't touch it. So every time you're like, Emily, put the paintbrush down, that is what Nano is for me. Nano is someone locking away the paintbrushes and saying, you can't have them back.
No.
Until you put all the words on the paper. And so that's what I do. It's been a while, though, actually, since I've done Nano. Huh.
What if you make Nano part of Nano? Mm-hmm. Not working, and this is what I do, too, is for Nano, sometimes it's not about getting the 50K down. It's about setting a goal for myself, and then I win Nano. You don't have to win Nano, according to the site.
This is true. This is true. Heart. Yeah, I can even fake it by just saying, like, since I do use your suggested, like, the 27 chapter thing, like, I can almost break it down and say, like, how many words is a chapter supposed to be, and then set myself a goal for, like, you have to revise a chapter every 2 days, because that's basically the equivalent, you know, like 3,000 words. So it's not about the actual words. It's about, like, it's this chunk of the book that I have to be able to move past.
Exactly.
I will do whatever it takes to get this draft together.
You can do it. Okay. Nano's the time.
Because the thing is, I'm at the point, too, where I need to work with other people. I need feedback, but it's – I can't send this to people because it's not complete. Like, it's – You just, like, you would be like, I don't know what's happening. They're here, and now they're here, and now they're here. Like, it's just, so I just need to get through it so that I can, like, so that it's, you know what I mean? Like, I need to stop trying to make it good.
Do we need to create a Nano, like, once a week check-in?
Yeah. Where
it's like, it's all
called,
right.
It's called our podcast. Once a week, we meet on podcast to go, hello, how Nano? Yeah, maybe that can be our November thing. It's just like a little check-in. A little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how you doing? But here's the thing. You need that feedback.
I do.
So do you need to send things
I need me? Public shaming would be good, too.
I'm really good at that.
No, I just mean, like, if we check in on the podcast, then Emily, did you work on those chapters?
I'll just hold it above your head every week. I'll be like, remember, I'm going to ask you how Nano's going, and you have to tell the truth.
People are listening.
Yes. They'll know. They'll know if you're lying.
I wouldn't lie. I'm not a liar.
You're not a liar. It's
giving me a look.
You would elaborate. You would.
Yeah, I wouldn't make excuses. Truth. I would be like, well, no, but.
Okay, let me tell you everything else that.
Yeah, let me tell you all the other things I've been doing. And it's like, that's great, but you still have to write the book. Yeah, I keep doing that thing where I'm like, if I check everything else off my to-do list, then I'll be able to just focus on the book. But you can never check everything off your to-do list.
No.
Especially right now, because nothing on my to-do list is check-offable. So yes, it's that division. So that kind of lends itself to, like, how do you find time to write during Nano? Like, is that something, do you write it in little spurts? Do you, like, set aside a time a day? Like, what is your Nano strategy usually?
I set aside a time of day, and I kind of, it's the only time that I ever look at my life as in the planner kind of thing. Like, I look at my planner and I say, okay, I know Saturday is going to be a day where we're doing this thing. That means I have to write my words in the morning. And most of the time I have my set time at writing for writing. Mm-hmm. That's usually in the morning. First thing when I get up, I like drink some coffee. I move around a little bit and then I just sit down and do the thing. Mm-hmm. And then to help myself out, especially since it is in the morning, I usually leave some notes for myself at the end of my writing session to be like, okay, maybe start with this next time. So that way that just wheel keeps turning.
Yeah.
Or it gives me something to think about. Like I'll write myself questions that I can be thinking about throughout the day.
I think Nano's so great for that. It's like, because I don't think you have to write every day to be a writer, but I do think in that generating story phase, it can be really good. And I find for Nano, like it's like your creative wheel. It's like that slow turn. And once you get it going, I just think it starts to work in the back of your brain, even when you're not. Like I often would write when I did Nano for real, I would write in the morning and then I would like get to a point where I was like, I have nothing else to write. I have no idea what else happens. And so I would put it aside. And then later that day, I'd have even just a snippet of an idea and I would run back to my laptop and just type it up real fast because I needed more words. And I'd enter it in the little counter thing. And it was just little bits like whenever it popped through, because again, I just felt like it kept that wheel turning, and that wheel would turn when I was sleeping. I would wake up in the morning with new ideas. Just because it was like going all the time. So
I think the thing about writing every day is more, I wish we could look at it more as like making writing a conscious habit.
Yes.
And it's this idea of once you have made something a habit, your brain just accepts that it has to be done that day. Mm-hmm. But then throughout the day, you are also thinking about it, right? You know it's going to be a thing coming up tomorrow, almost like an assignment, right? Where it's like, you know this thing is going to come up tomorrow. Let's be thinking about that. Let's generate these ideas. And that habit kind of kicks you into that creative mode.
Exactly.
And I think that's part of that process, right? Yeah. When people talk about their writing process.
It's always easier to not write than it is to write.
Oh, and so, yeah.
When people say write every day, I think what they're really saying is that, is get in that habit, allow yourself to make it a priority. And then once you've found your groove, like then do whatever works for you. Like then don't write every day or write once a week. For me, I just know if I take too much time off, it's so much harder to start again. Like I always think of writing and exercise the same way for me, because I am someone who really struggles to make myself do it. Both of those things. And when I do it, I feel so much better. And if I do it every day or at least regularly, then I want to do it again. And if I stop, oh my gosh, it's like pushing a boulder up a mountain from
It's been a while
stop.
Since
it's
the hard. Like Lin-Manuel hand came out of me, but here it is. That's exactly it. I think I was talking to a friend. I was talking to her today just a little bit because we were talking about similar ideas that we had. I was telling her about my climate fantasy that I wrote. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm writing a climate fantasy. Is that okay? And I was like, whoa, we got to talk about this. Who is the person who wrote Eat, Pray, Love?
I don't know. But you said that's the person who has the floaty ideas. The ideas that float
Big
to
Magic.
Other people.
That's what it's called. I can't believe I remember that. But they talk about in Big Magic about how ideas can like float or move on if you don't pay attention to them enough, like for enough, like if you don't pay ideas enough attention, they will float on to somebody else. And it's just kind of a natural thing. And I was like, that's so silly, but it's so true. If I don't sit down and consciously work at something, or if I'm not constantly thinking about it and making plans to actually sit down and write a thing, it will just stop being an idea and I'll never be able to pick it back up again.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really, like, some people are really good at like having a back burner idea, and I am not as much. Like, I mean, I think all my books started as back burners, but that's because I wasn't writing. Whereas now it's almost like I have to get a little bit of it down at least because, otherwise it just kind of goes stale.
Yeah. Yes. That's exactly what it feels like. Is it feels like that magic, that thing that I felt for it is gone. If I'm not constantly throwing thoughts at it. And that's another thing that I suggest for Nano prep, especially from now until November, is find out whatever like lights that spark of that story for you. So if you're a visual person, start building your Pinterest board. That counts as writing. I'm giving you permission. That counts as writing.
It does. Sometimes you need to find the inspiration. Like I have been planning to my parents are finally getting to go back to Italy. They usually go every year or year and a half. They haven't gone because of the pandemic. And my mom messaged me the other day and she was like, I think we're actually going to be able to do it. We're going to go in April. And I was just talking about how I had plan to go back before I finished book two because I really wanted to revisit some of the places that are the inspiration for the setting because it's been so long since I've been there. And she had suggested that she has, I don't know if it's an app or a video or something, that just like off the beaten path stuff in Venice that she loves to watch. And I thought, yeah, this is exactly what I need. I just need to watch people walking around this space.
Yeah,
because I know it will give me ideas. Like, there are certain things that I've learned now that if I watch certain things or travel to certain places or do, like, I know I will get book ideas. And a lot of times I'm like, oh, I don't have time for that right now. I have to work on this book. And it's like, you fool. You are dragging yourself through the slog trying to get words down. Whereas if you just let yourself watch that movie that always gives you fun ideas or watch that travel show or whatever it is, like, you know you're going to come up with something better. So just do it. Like, that counts as feeding your creative well. And when you're stuck, you need to feed that creative well.
Right. And I think, again, it's that, like, conscious refilling of the well, right? Like, you know this thing is going to give you maximum inspiration. You know this thing is going to, you know, be fun and also a way for you to kind of, like, tie into your book. It doesn't always have to be work. Like, you're not studying it, but you know this thing is – going to help me. It's going to give me ideas. It's going to give me a break enough and give me space enough to find something to unlock about this story. I think that's so smart.
There are certain, like, there are certain movies that I've watched 1,000 times and I know that my husband is like, why would he watch this again? I'm like, because I love it so much. And I just know, I don't know what it is, but I know there is something in those movies that I want to play with. And I don't know what, like, the two that I'm thinking of right now are Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
I don't need to write a opposing spies, but there's the dynamic of those two in that movie is there's something in there that I want to play with. And I'm just, every time I rewatch it, it's like there's a part of my brain that's like, all right, we'll think on this. And I know at some point I'm going to wake up and be like, ah, I have the perfect idea. And I know what part of it I would do.
Right.
Another one I just rewatched again. It's not even like it's like an amazing movie, but the movie The Duff.
Yeah.
I think the two main actors in that movie are so good at those roles.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm like, I have no, I don't have a story. I'm not even trying to like remake it. It's just something about that character dynamic that I need to figure out why I keep going back to it. But I know that if I keep going back to it, there's something there that I can do something with. Yeah.
Yeah. There is something there. Right. I agree.
Yeah. I don't know what it is yet. But
nope.
So when I rewatch them, I'm like, is it an indulgence? No, not necessarily. It's almost like I'm just like poking at the coals in the fire. Like, stay hot.
Right.
Stay there. Because at some point, I'm going to need this fire. And I don't know what it is yet.
No, but I feel that. I feel that 100%. Mine is with music. So I build that Spotify playlist, right? And then it was embarrassing. Every time the Spotify year roundups pop up, they're like, you listen to this song and
1,000 times.
1,000 times in 1 month. Are you okay? I just want to explain to Spotify, like, yes, I write. I'm fine. Thank you.
I feel like there's probably a lot of people on Spotify that do that for various reasons. Yeah.
And for me, I think it goes back to my nerdy musical theater Broadway background, where I want to create that bustin' ballad. I want to create that like that park and bark musical note. That's my favorite theater term, a park and bark. It's my favorite. But I want that. I want that moment in a musical, and I want that in my book, and I want to build to that. And I think that for me is like deconstructing, like, why does that moment get that song? Okay, how do I do that in a book? And so I have that really like evocative feeling, and then I figure out how to capture that, and then I write that scene, and that scene becomes my cookie, and we're back to the beginning of this conversation.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's cool. What I do. This became a Nano/ how to find your inspiration when you're stuck episode. Good for
Isn't
us.
It fun?
Yay.
Isn't it fun? So park and bark, if you're a musical person, find that song.
I thought I was, but I don't think I know what a park and bark is.
Oh, park and bark is when, you know, the songs where they don't want the actress or actor or whoever to move around on stage. They just want them to stand there and go, memory, and then just sing. They literally park themselves on the stage.
Okay.
And then they bark the song out.
Got it. I was thinking it was a song where like you're moving around and then you stop. And,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Hit that line. But
no,
yeah,
it is. If you've ever seen Wicked, the song No Good Deed,
Wicked.
No Good Deed Goes Unpunished, that is a park and bark because she really doesn't move a whole lot in that song and she belts the hell out of it.
I love it.
Park and bark.
I love me some musicals. Yeah. I just was too wimpy to be in them. I sang in choir, but I did not. I was too wimpy.
See, I can't sing worth a shit, but I can act all right. So there's that.
I feel like I could act, but I get too self-conscious. So I don't know. But then I went into teaching, which is performing all the time.
Acting.
I mean, especially teaching like kindergarten.
Yeah.
So I think it's more just as long as adults aren't watching me act. I don't know.
That's so funny.
Kindergartners, like, you have to be bigger. You have to be larger than life. You have to be, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. It's too late. It's not like I'm going to go into acting now.
Emily's like, full stop. Chelsea, I need you to represent me for acting. Here we go. Broadway debut.
It is hard enough to be a not 20-year-old debut YA author. I'm not going to try to break into Hollywood, too. Thank you.
Come on.
At this point, that dream will just have to be
everywhere.
Nah, I'll just dream of someone adapting my books into a movie so I can stand behind stage and just, yes, you know, please. Cry. Yeah, stage, like they film movies on stages. Well, they film on sound stages, whatever.
Have you ever seen a musical? It's okay, Emily.
No, I was seeing a movie. I was seeing a musical. I don't think they're going to turn my books into a musical. Well, that would be fun. A singing Dante is the funniest thing I can imagine. I mean, he does sing, but, like, performing is different. He's not a performer singer. He does sing in the book, but he is drunk, and it is a dare.
He would be Kristoff from Frozen 1.
Oh, yeah.
He literally doesn't sing by himself. It's just him singing and then singing as a reindeer. Yeah. Like, it would be Dante, but it would be him singing a ballad, but as his fists.
Which is a darn shame, because he's a really good singer. As Alessa discovers when he sings a rather dirty sea shanty. I had someone message me, or who was it? Oh, one of my like real life non-writer friends was like, you even have sea shanties in your book before they were cool. And I was like, what? Oh yeah, I do actually. Huh, who knew that? Beat the sea shanty craze. Random tangents.
Yeah, everywhere. We're all over the place right now.
We're always all over the place.
So you don't do a lot of like actual story prep before.
No, because I don't have a story until I sit down to write it. I did. I will admit, at least one nano. I started getting ideas before I started, so I wrote like little bits of scenes because for me, like winning it is important. But the whole reason that you have a goal to win is to make yourself write this stuff. So if it gets written 2 days early, I don't really care.
It doesn't matter. Count it.
Exactly. It's fine. because I'm not doing it for a prize. I'm doing it to get to a certain point in my process. So, yeah.
Okay, so then for me, I do have tentpole. Like, I have tentpole stuff. And I spend part of my writing day planning how I'm going to bridge to the next thing. And if I'm bored by how to get to the next thing, I just skip it. And then I do the next thing. But
I almost started singing Do the Next Right Thing, but I'm a little hoarse right now, so I didn't
Oh, that is a belter and a half. Good job it is. On that
it's
one.
A good Dang. Song. That one makes me cry. Anyway, sorry.
Wow. Yes, same here. I can't believe they killed Olaf. That was great. That was good.
Spoiler alert, no.
Somebody's like, I was going to watch Frozen 2 tonight.
We're messing Jimmy with you, folks. We're messing with
you. Okay. But do you count with your comment about like it doesn't matter about word count, it's just to write the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Would you count planning as winning nano? Like spending the time planning instead of actually writing? So you're like,
I wouldn't. I mean, I don't blame anyone else for it. But like for me, my whole goal is to stop thinking about it and write the darn thing. So usually when I do nano, my goal is just at the end of this month, I want to have X number of words, which again, even if I start a few days early, I don't care because it still gets me there. The fact that I decided to do nano still got those ideas going. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay. But I know some people do. I think the trick is to make your nano goal the thing that is hard for you to do. If you know you're someone who can plan all day long and you don't put the words down on the page, then don't count the planning. If you know you're someone that can write really fast, but like you need to spend more time outlining, then make that your, you know what I mean? Like, because I feel like that's like the point of nano is to push you out of your comfort zone and make you do the thing that you're maybe avoiding doing.
Thanks, Emily.
Sorry. Called out.
It's a Western and you're calling me out.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, I'm the first one. Okay, that makes sense because I always count outlining just because I feel like anything that is productively pushing me forward mm-hmm. counts. But I have also been known to outline until the book is never existing and then yeah. never write it and then I stop writing.
Because it goes stale.
Yeah,
because exactly. You didn't eat those cookies. You were too yeah. busy planning your recipes. I don't have a good metaphor here. That's but I also have found, like, it's a little too late for this. Sorry, folks. But I've also found, like, if you're someone who has queried more than once, if you get into a querying schedule, which I know I did for a while, I found for me a lot of times I would set the goal of, like, have this manuscript ready to query by, like, September, October. And then I'd try to kind of get to a point where in November I was like, all right, you got to focus on a new thing because yes. querying would stress me out. Like, I was at the point where, like, querying still takes up time, but, like, I was done revising. And so I just found for me that was a good way to be like, all right, it's November. Start working on something new because you know yes. you can't query it in December.
Yeah.
For anyone who's listening, you can't query. Don't do it. Don't query that nano book in December for, like, don't do it unless you're an amazing person who can write a perfect book. Don't do it. But also every book that gets sent out, not, I'm exaggerating, but like agents know they're going to get a bajillion manuscripts on December 1st. And a lot of them are going to be first drafts that should not be queried yet. So yeah. hold your horses, kids.
Get your hand off that mouse yeah. right now. Get You're it proud off the of yourself, trackpad.
And you should be. Pop Yay. Some champagne and then let it sit and then revise it. But yeah, so for me, it was like the timing was great because it was like, okay, yeah. I'm not going to query in December. I was sending something out into the world and then it was like, all right, I have November. I'm going to start something new. I'm going to fall in love with a new book baby. I'm going to try to like unclench with the previous thing and hope for the best and try not to think about it. And then I know I have December. I can start revising and then, you know, kind of yeah. just got in a groove. So, you know, no one wants to be like stuck in a cycle, but like that's how publishing works. And even it's even the same once you have an agent going on sub, there's often that like certain times a year are better to go on sub. And there's a kind of rhythm to publishing. And I just find for in sure. that way, I do find that like November is a good time to be like, all right, I'm going to play with a new thing
yeah.
that doesn't have a lot of pressure on it. It's just write the thing, do the thing, and then, you know, either let it sit in December or start revising or whatever. Exactly. But it's like all the agents are going to close in December. So
yeah, just it doesn't even matter at that point. Yeah.
And as someone that started querying in mid-November, I don't recommend it for emotional health. When the year we did Pitch Wars, the showcase was, I think, November 7th.
Oh my gosh.
So at the end of the showcase, we all started sending out queries in, like, the second or third week in November, like, right before Thanksgiving. And then it was, like, every agent was like, all right, well, I want to clear out my inbox so I can start with a clean slate in January. And it was just, like, pow, 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 like, all the time. So I just...
You know that gif of the dog looking at cupcakes, but he's having a PTSD flashback?
Is that what you're hungry now? Yeah, that was
that's all. So again, feel. Thanks for bringing yourself, that up
like,
again.
Do yourself, like, do what you want to do, people. Like, it's worked out great for some people. Like, I know DV Pitt, I think, is coming up soon. Like, or
yeah,
just do your thing. Like, it's fine. Like, don't yeah. this is not but advice.
The
you
only
have
thing
to take.
That we're, I think the only thing me, that we're saying yeah. is if you just write your book in nano.
Yeah, please don't.
Don't.
For your own
don't,
sake.
Don't.
What we're saying is it. Don't be like, I have to get it out of here right now because you no. don't. It's probably not ready. And even if it is ready, you might get faster responses, but they might not be what you want. And you don't need to exactly. go into the holidays feeling like you're just getting like sideswiped every day.
Put it away. Just, put it down. I'll Have tell you what I tell Nano, Emily. And then put it down.
Just, yeah. Just let it simmer a little
bit. It's got to ruminate. It's got to marinate. Like delicious, delicious chicken.
Yes.
Let it marinate.
Yeah. Set those
or
goals.
Eggplant, whatever you want to marinate. Let it marinate.
I have questions about marinating eggplants, but I'll save them for later.
We went there at the same time.
Anyway, dirty jokes are part of my cookies when I'm writing a book.
Why? This is why we have a podcast together, is our brain is
there we are on the same wavelengths. Oh, dear. When we're together in person for the first time, which will hopefully, knock on wood, be in like a month, less than a month. Ah! The energy is going to be chaos.
It's going to be, I had a We talked about it before the podcast. I had a dream about it.
Yeah.
And it was chaotic, wonderful.
And prepare yourself, folks, because, like, we might have little microphones hooked up to our phones. And if you're like, I love basic pitches, we're going to be like, so we're recording you now with your permission.
Hello.
Say talk something. To us. Yeah. Live and on the streets.
Yes.
With Anna and Emily, basic
pitches. My goal is to have stickers. So if you want a basic pitches sticker.
Yeah, yeah. And I made bookmarks for my book.
Yay.
Which hopefully
we'll have
turn out fine. We'll have what swag. What
is it the youths call it? Swag.
Swag.
We'll have swag.
Yes. It's going to be so fun.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
Can I also admit that, like, a little bit, just a little bit, not a whole lot, but just a tiny bit of imposter syndrome.
Oh, heck yeah.
In this morning, I was like,
oh, the whole place is going to be full of people with imposter syndrome. Like, everyone, that's the one thing that writers excel at is, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we've all been isolated for so long. And now we're like,
oh.
It's not like we're just like dipping a toe back into the world of social world of publishing. It's like, I swear.
Hi.
So many people
you've only talked to via screen.
Yeah. Well, that's a thing. I mean, I'm like, I'm going to go see some of my best friends. And all my like in real life friends are like, have we met them? And I'm like, no, I haven't met them.
Yeah.
This is great.
This is.
It's cool. It's cool. It's cool.
I'm excited.
It's cool.
I'm excited.
For anyone who's going to be there, I'm short. I'm just telling you that right now because I feel like that's going to be the thing that people are going to say. It's what people always say when they meet me, when they don't know me already is, oh, wow, you're really short. So let's just get it out of the way, folks. I'm short. Now you know. We can move past that part of the conversation and start with something else. So unless you're Lissa, in which case Lissa is tall. And obviously, we have not met either, and so that's going to be the first topic of conversation as we try to figure out how to take a picture when she is, like, a foot taller than me.
Where is Lauren in all this?
I don't know. I think Lauren is short-ish, but not as short as me, but I'm not sure if I'm basing that on any fact or if I'm just making it up.
Okay.
I don't know. Ayana's tall. Lissa's tall.
Ayana's tall. Lissa's tall.
You are medium. I am short.
What's that thing that went around recently? I think I was the tallest of the small.
And I am probably the smallest of the small. Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe out there is a friend that I don't even realize is shorter than me.
Probably.
I was telling you the other day that was my joy the first time I met Andrea Contos and Rachel Rocca was that they are maybe both shorter than me. It's real close.
That's exciting.
Which was wild. And that was very exciting for me as a short person. That never happens.
So. I think it started to step in for me that I was on the short side whenever I taught eighth grade. And it was towards the end that, you know, in the beginning of the year, they're very much shorter than you. Like, everyone is shorter than you. And then
me. I never taught above third grade because they are taller than me.
No, see. Eighth grade, it was like, yeah, cool. You're shorter than me, at least by an inch. All right, cool, kid. And then by the end of the year, it was like, all right. I have to look up at you now.
Oh, I mean, I have a fifth grader. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what grade my kids are in. The last year has been weird. And a lot of her classmates are already taller than me. So,
yeah.
And my short. It'll be exciting. And then it's like all the like super famous authors that like are always tall in my head because they're famous. So they have to be larger than life. So that'll be fun, too.
Yeah.
Because I know they're not all tall. They can't all be
tall. Many of them are very tall.
They're just going to feel tall. Well, anyway.
Anyway.
That was a fun tangent about
the height of authors.
Yeah.
It's really actually, I didn't realize that it was such a thing about authors, the obsession with height. But it
really is. Well, I think it's just that we're all people that interact all the time, but we don't see, like, even, okay, like, think of actors. You see them in movies. So you kind of have an idea of how tall they are because they're near other people. But, like, authors are public figures that you don't ever see with other people. You just see, like, headshots. So I think that's why it's like, oh, wow, we're not all just, like, uniform height.
It's not a cookie cutter author.
No. This is going to be the, like, small talk of Yell Fest. Like, instead of weather, it's just going to be like, oh, wow, you're short. You're tall. Oh, wow.
You're a lot louder in person. That's what will happen to me. That's what will happen to me.
See, that's the best part.
Why do I work in a library?
Like, of having this podcast is that no one's going to be like, wow, you talk really fast. Or if they do, I'm like, you don't listen to my podcast.
Right?
Because you don't know. Every time I speak, this is how I speak. Get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I don't have a dismount for this episode.
Well, I mean, it's close to nano time.
Yes.
I guess we could talk a little bit about the slight elephant in the room that is Pitch Wars. You know, just Hey, if you're still waiting to hear from Pitch Waters, which we all are, whether you've gotten a request or not,
yes.
Take a deep breath. Everybody take a deep breath right now.
Yes. I can give my, like, I keep thinking, like, there are the things I want to say to everybody, and I guess I can say it now, which is just that as a mentor who talks to other mentors, I know people keep saying this, like, if you get requests and you don't get picked, or if you don't get requests, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with your book, and I just want to emphasize that that is true. Like, mentors are not picking the best book or the one good book or anything. Like, there mm-hmm. is so much out there. The one thing that this reminds me every year is I could happily read and enjoy dozens and dozens and dozens of books. I'm not looking for a book that I would pull off a shelf and read. I mean, I am, but I'm looking for a book that for whatever reason sticks with me a little bit more than the others, and that I think, oh, I have ideas for how I can make this better. Yes. And there really are, like, I know people hate this, but, like, there are books. It's not necessarily that they're so good that there's nothing to change. That's not what we're saying. But I read them and I think, this is really good. I think it could be better in X, Y, or Z ways, but, like, I don't really know how to do that, or, like, I don't have an idea for what to do about this. And I mean, there are things that I read and I start reading and I think I have nothing to change. This, I'm probably going to have to, like, put this one aside because I've done. And then I get to a point where I'm like, oh, no, I have an idea. Like, it just is not. I know it feels personal. I've been on the other side. I know that people are going to try to gauge the quality of their work, the quality of their writing. And I just beg people to try not to do that. It's the weirdest thing to try to pick something for the purpose of working with it. It's different even than an agent. It's different than someone going to a bookstore because they're not just picking up something they want to read. No. It's different from an agent who's specifically saying, one, I like this, two, can I sell it? Because mentors are trying to pick something that they love, but also that needs work that they in particular can provide. And it is just a very complex formula. We can only pick one. And there are just so many writers I want to be friends with, and I want to read their books, and I want to be their CP, and I want to work with them. And if I could, I would, and I can't. And I'm saying I, but that is true for every mentor that I have spoken to. And
I will say, as somebody who is mentor adjacent with a lot of people, I guess I know a lot of mentor, like I know a lot of them throughout the different categories. And I also remember being a Pitch Wars hopeful and looking at some of their tweets, you know, not these people specifically, but mentor tweets of, like, they're all so wonderful. I love them all so much. Like, all of these tweets. You're like, yeah, right. Uh-huh. Like,
you meanwhile, have my inbox is so full of new mentors going, oh my gosh, you were not kidding. Like, even it's Lissa, so
true.
Who was my mentee last year. I mean, that was the first thing she sent me after she opened her Pitch Wars inbox was, oh my gosh, you were not kidding. This is so much harder than I thought it would be. How did you choose? And even now I'm like, girl, I don't even know. Right. You know, you just read and read and read and read and read and just hope that something grabs you by the throat and says, you have to pick me already because you're running out of time. And that's, and
I will 100% back it up, as if you are somebody who is having those thoughts at all of, like, they're all saying that or whatever, which I know we all have, and we're not knocking that. Like, I'm not knocking that at all.
Yeah,
I was there.
It's a normal thing to feel.
It's true, but it's absolutely true. Yes. The mentors are trying their best. They're just trying to find something that they can help. And it's, you said it so perfectly. It's not about picking the best book or the book they will have no work to do on or anything like that.
There's something, you know, maybe there's something in the opening chapter, there's something in the concept that it's like the mentor didn't realize really wasn't for them, but they're like, I bet this is an amazing book, but, like, this just isn't really what I'm looking for. And I know people are thinking, well, put in your wish list, but your wish list can't be 5,000 pages long.
No.
But, like, I can't screenshot and I won't, but if I could screenshot some of the mentor chats and just people just, like, tearing their hair out, being like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. Why are they all so good? How do I choose? Why can't I pick 12? Like, we're not lying to you all. We really, really mean it. We really, really do. Right. And I was just thinking today about, there were manuscripts I requested last year and didn't choose who went on to get agents and book deals before now. There are manuscripts I didn't request who, like, I feel like, don't quote me on this, I feel like there might be at least one person in my debut class who submitted to me last year and, like, I didn't request. And it wasn't because their book wasn't good. It just wasn't, you know, one of the ones that was perfect for me. And it just goes to show you, like, it is subjective. It is complicated, and right. I think you're all amazing. Like, really, really amazing. Like, scary right. amazing sometimes, honestly.
And I think...
it's daunting.
Yeah. The one thing that I want to impart, and we'll have a couple. I think we'll have another episode come out before then. But my suggestion to start thinking now is find something to distract yourself. I think Nano like comes at a perfect time. Yes. It's perfect. Like, right now is the time to start brainstorming, mm-hmm. to get the ball rolling, you know, kind of get that engine primed and ready to go.
Get so excited that you can about just
take off
thing.
In November.
Yep.
Get excited about that new thing. It's okay. Yeah. And it is also okay to take a break. If you need to take a break,
yes.
feel your feels, do whatever. But just know that this decision does not determine
it does not.
Anything.
It does not.
Anything.
I got in. I loved it. That book did not get me an agent. I got into Author Mentor Match, and it was helpful, and it did not get me an agent. Like,
yeah,
things can be good and still not be a golden ticket. Things can... you cannot get in and do just as well or better. I mean, heck, a whole bunch of the mentors are people that once upon a time applied to be a mentee and weren't picked and now have gone on and had a lot of success in many ways. Like, it
exactly.
just, you're all great. It's yep. really cool that there are so many people out there that are doing the thing and working so hard and trying to improve yes. their craft. And I don't know. I want to play matchmaker. Maybe I'll do that after Pitchers if I can.
Do
just
it.
Be like... there's so many of you. Please be friends now. Please. Critique partners, go.
Yay.
But anyway, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Seize the Nano or don't seize the Nano, whatever works for you. But we will be back. And then I think we're probably going to be taking, what, December off, is what we were saying? We're going to wrap up our first season. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But stay tuned. And Anna's been collecting all the outtakes from our episodes. So maybe those will show up.
Maybe.
There is the... what is the name of that file? There's one episode that I think we're both scared to listen to.
Oh.
It was like a rough day. We just yep. kind of went wild.
Yep. That no. that will live there forever. Is yes. it the cursed folder?
Yes. The cursed episode. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
cursed
yes,
episode. That's what it's called.
Yes.
That will never see the light of day.
No.
Ever.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap this up on that note. Woo!
Woo. I don't really have a dismount other than that, but go get Nano. Don't go get Nano.
Do your
take
thing.
A break. Don't take a break. Go listen to a song 1,000 times and let Spotify ask if you're okay.
Yeah. Listen to the episode I recorded last week, which is actually in 3 hours from now. Not the episode, the Instagram Live.
Yeah.
Hopefully. If Lauren and I
if
figure out how to
that already, go
save
watch it.
It
was great.
Onto the, however you do it to make
you
it stick around.
Go watch
I don't
it
know.
On Instagram TV.
Yeah, if we can
where
figure
the
out.
The aliens attack. It was great.
Yeah,
it was
it's going to cool. be great. It's going to be great. Yes. And yep. yeah, Lauren's book, Reese's Book Club pick.
Woo! Woo!
Which was just announced today, which is a week ago on the pod.
Which is exciting. Yeah. Yay. If you haven't already read
it's so good.
Lauren Blackwood's book.
Within These Wicked Walls. Woo!
Need right. to do it. Get on it. I'm going to go. I think my copy arrived while we were recording.
I'm going to go see if mine is so I can hold it up during the Instagram Live. All right. Well,
all right.
Bye, bitches.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye, bitches. Bye. I'm trying to work on our outro. Outro. Done.
Hey, everyone. Thanks again for listening to another episode of Basic Pitches. We super appreciate it. If you really enjoyed it, you can go to iTunes. Please like, subscribe, tell all your friends about it, leave a review. We love seeing your reviews. It makes our heart glow. If you're interested in hearing more about Pitch Wars or you want to submit, go ahead and do that now. The submission window is open from now until September 30th at midnight Eastern Standard Time. Go do that now. It's a wonderful contest. And we'll see you next time. Bye!